In God's good providence, we were able to recover part of this sermon. We hope it will be a blessing to you.
Dead, and of course you remember that movie. William Wallace in Braveheart. And my daughter, her purpose behind that, with the 4th of July coming, is freedom takes a heavy price. And we celebrated that here, and we continue to celebrate the price that our men and women pay to have our freedom. I want to tell you, as an American citizen, I'm very fearful of our freedom as we look ahead for the future. But as a believer in Christ and one who follows the Lord Jesus, the sovereign God of all, I'm not fearful. Because as I read in his book, there's coming a day when the whole world will reject Jesus Christ. And they will set up their own God called the Antichrist. I believe we're not far from that. I may see the day that that happens if I live out my normal life. But today, our passage talks about freedom. Freedom that's way beyond what we experience here in America. This is a great freedom that we should never, ever take for granted. And we're to pray for our leaders that they would seek God and make wise decisions. But I want to read our passage today. And what I'm going to do, our passage is Galatians 5, 13 to 15. I want to use the passage to take us on a journey this morning to the Lord's table. This table represents a freedom beyond what we could ever think or imagine. And we're still learning the beauty of the freedom that we have in Jesus. So turn with me to Galatians 5. Starting at 13, and we'll read to 14 and 15. Open your heart today, as Tom prayed, to hear the words of our Lord through Paul the Apostle. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful natures. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. The last few weeks, myself, Andrew, and Steve have been talking about a freedom that helps us understand we are not under the law. This freedom here, same word, but it's kind of on the other side of freedom that we want to look at, not to take advantage of it. We were called to be free. I thought that was interesting. You and I, who are followers of Jesus Christ, who have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, who have been born again, have been called to this life of freedom. And I just jotted down a few verses that tells us how special this calling is. Romans 1:7, we are called to be his holy people. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful and has called you into the fellowship of his dear Son. Galatians 1:6, at the beginning of our study, Paul's astonished that the Galatians so quickly deserted the one who called them to live in the life of Christ's grace and turn to a different gospel. Ephesians 1:18, that we would know the hope to which he has called us and the riches of his glorious inheritance. Ephesians 4:1, Paul urges us to live a life worthy of our calling. Colossians 3:15, we are called to peace. 1 Timothy 6:12, take hold of the eternal life to which you have been called. And 2 Peter 1:10, brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. And if you do, you will never stumble. We have been called to freedom. But the passage says, but don't use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. Stephen, Andrew, and I, prior to this, have been trying to get across this idea of I'm free from the law. You and I cannot keep the law. And the law was never intended for you and I to keep it. The law was given to expose our sinful nature, to expose our inability to measure up to God's standard. If we believe that and know that, that's freedom. Not only do I not have to measure up, I cannot. So therefore, I'm free from trying to be a phony, trying to be a Pharisee, trying to measure up to God's standards because I can't. I'm free to admit to myself, I fall short. I'm a sinner, saved by grace. I can be genuine. That's what we want to encourage here. My righteousness is not in myself, it's in Christ. And I'm free from that. And Paul wanted the Galatians to understand that deeply. But as he gets into Galatians 5:13, as he tells them, you were called to this freedom, he wants them not to go the other way. Free? Oh, all right, I'll buy into that. I don't have to live by the law. I don't have to keep God's commands. I can just live as I want, and God will forgive me because of the cross. Yay! And we know not that's not to be true. We know that from Paul's other writings in Romans 6:15, where some of them were saying, let's sin because we are not under the law but under grace. And what does Paul say in response to that? God forbid that I would think now I can indulge in my sin. Freedom, or liberty is another way to say that, is the ability to live as I should and not as I please. I now have the ability to live fully for God with His help. That's why our theme is, it's Christ alone. I hope we're getting that. I am trying to remind myself of that every day. We need to do this daily. Steve reminded us last week, stand firm in the freedom from the law. We can't do it. Christ has done it. Now he's telling us, be very careful. Because with this freedom, you can think and do as you please, and that's wrong. And he says in verse 13, rather, serve one another in love. 14 says this, the entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, I thought the greatest command was love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Is he switching this up on this? Let me try to fill this in and explain it, because if you go back to Matthew, and the Pharisees, they thought they were shrewd. They said, well, let's answer him a good question. What's the greatest command in the law? And Jesus replied this, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. So who's right, Jesus or Paul? They're both right. And the second is the like. They're connected. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So I want to encourage you to think this way. When Paul says in Galatians, the entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself, he's already assuming that you know you need to love God with all your heart. And why do we know that is essential? Because 1 John tells us, God is love. Whoever lives in God lives in love, and God in him. Listen to this. We love God because he first loved us. That's our natural response back to God. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's what? What? Liar! He's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this commandment, whoever loves God must also love his brother. They're inseparable. And I measure my life, according to Galatians, if I'm living in this freedom, by the action of love, loving one another. It's a powerful thermometer for you and I to evaluate, do I understand the Christian life? And I look at my life sometimes, and I recognize that I don't love my fellow brothers and sisters. There's times I talk about them, gossip about them, I don't pray for them, I enhance their weaknesses, I think I'm better than they are, and then I realize the flesh is creeping in. That's not how I'm to live. I'm to demonstrate that I understand all that I have in Christ by loving each other. Let me finish out the verse 15. And I want to challenge us as brothers and sisters here at Hope. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. And I believe I could say it this way. If love isn't practiced here at Hope, then we're going to begin to gossip, talk, bite, chew, devour. And once that continues, we're going to be destroyed. So all of us, not just the leadership, all of us have to hold this high in the way we walk, not only here at Hope, but everywhere we walk. Our lives must be demonstrated by love. So that we can accomplish the powerful things that God has for us. As I was studying this passage, I couldn't help but think of John 17. And as I reread it, it just so powerfully popped out at me, the beauty of this chapter. Our Lord is preparing himself to be crucified and go to the cross. And yet, he's praying specifically in the beginning of the chapter for his disciples. And while he's praying, he says this, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with you, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None have been lost, even though they had difficulties in life. None of them were lost except the one doomed to destruction, which, of course, we know that is Judas, who really wasn't of them. And here's what he says. Now listen to this. Some 2,000 years ago, talking to his father in the garden, preparing to go to the cross. My prayer is not only for these 11 who I've watched and cared for. I pray also for you, you and me. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Jesus had you in mind when he was going to the cross. And he's prayed for you and I that we would follow this gospel of love. Powerful, powerful message to us who know the Lord. So that if you and I can make love a priority, not only in your own life, but here in the church, you and I will carry out the freedom we were called to. How do we do that? I'll just say a few suggestions. There's a whole life story and study on this one. Certainly, we pray for each other. And we pray for each other not just on Sunday, not just at the concert of prayer one Sunday night a month, but we pray for each other because we're in each other's life. It's just not a slogan, a caring place. When you and I follow the precepts, the commands of God, those of us who are in Christ now have the capability to carry out his commands because we have the Spirit of God. We can accomplish powerful things for the kingdom of God. We're seeing a world that does not emanate love. And if they're not of God, nor can they. That's the powerful thing that we need to understand with those who do not name the name of Christ. They are controlled by sin. Because of God's love, I've been given the freedom not to be controlled by sin. But through the power of Christ, I can live out every day carrying out his will. Do I do that every day? You know I don't, and you don't. But the power and potential is there. And if I practice the presence of God by the power of his Spirit, I can begin day after day, month, year after year, that I can get to a place that Christ is working in me, that I can be tender and loving to my wife. Not because of me, but because of him. Really treat your parents. What do you really think about them? Do you believe they are a gift by God to you? I want to tell you this. If you have parents that love God and want to teach you his ways, do not take it for granted. That is a privilege that God has placed you in a family that wants you to know who God is. And as we get to know who God is, and he works in our lives, and next week, Jeff's going to take us there, we can begin to produce all the things that God has for us, or make sure we don't produce the things that are of the flesh. There's a whole list of them. And that's who I can be if I'm not aware every day of allowing the Spirit of God to fill my life with his love. That's the top billing. If you go through all the epistles, Paul constantly goes over it and over it. I thank God for your love, for your hope, for your faith. They're the three things that he's looking for in the elements of the church. Corinthians tells us this, faith, hope, and love, these need to remain, but the greatest of these is love. I believe because it's an outpouring of all of them operating together. Here's what we need to think about. If, and I believe we are, but if we can determine every day to cling to the Lord, ask Him for His strength, we haven't seen yet the potential that God wants to do here at Hope. I do believe we are carrying place where God transforming our lives. And we have opportunities all the time to care for each other. And you guys do that well. But we can never take it for granted that we've done it okay. We need to turn to the Lord always, daily, to say, Lord, let me minister life to my other brothers and sisters. And I'll say it this way as I read the scriptures. God loves His church and gave Himself for it. And He wants to see the body of Christ live out His love, His commitment, His endurance. And we see that in no greater place than the cross. I want you to prepare your hearts right now to take the Lord's Supper. God commanded, Jesus said, as oft as you do this, we do this here at Hope about once a month, I want you to remember what I did for you. This is our motivation. This is our strength. Jesus, God the Son, came, lived a perfect, holy life because I couldn't. Was my substitute at Calvary and took on my penalty for sin. He was the atonement. I deserve to die. And I must not forget that. We sang today marvelous words about God's love and commitment and what He did. As we prepare our hearts for this, is there anybody that just wants to give a testimony of what Jesus means to you this week, this year, and what He's done for you and I? Anybody at all? Not going to embarrass you. You don't have to. But this is an opportunity to remember what Jesus did.